We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bob McClain. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and Tuesday, day before Thursday, alohas to you. Great to have you along as we get into the most heavily commuted and most heavily congested hour of the show. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation this afternoon. Just grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063, or if you prefer to send me a text message, address that to the CSRP Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, which is simply 71307. And my email address is always bob@1063WORD.com. No keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest. For this cycle, it's running 9 to 5, which means the keyword we give right before 4 o'clock ends at the 5 o'clock hour. But Tara will have another one for you bright and early right after the news tomorrow morning at right before the news, I should say, at 9 o'clock. So 9 to 5 for the $1,000 bankroll contest. Winner already, by the way, Daisy Wright, who lives in Lawrence. Way to go, Daisy. Won at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, so we're getting off to a good start. In on the text line, 71307. Bobby, does that mean Thanksgiving is it for you till next year? I hope not. No. Means that I'll be off Thanksgiving week, and then I'll be back, and we'll be here as we head for Christmas. I hope not. So glad you're back. Thank you. Appreciate the well wishes. Bobby, isn't this whole impeachment thing a Seinfeld episode? A show about nothing? Yeah, exactly right. New meme circulating, Bob. Is that a diaper on your head? Oh, no. Why? Well, because you have S-word for brains.
Oh, you can't make that stuff up.
Yeah, you can. Somebody just did. Any news from the Pelosi speech here about topic, attendance numbers, reception? No, I didn't even care what the topic, of course, is going to be hating Trump all the time. Bobby, I actually hope that Messrs. Barr and Durham won't be issuing a report, but many criminal charges. Bobby, why are there so many hit and runs in Greenville and the upstate area, and why does it seem to be getting worse? Partly responsible is the fact that some of our drivers do not pay copious attention to current events around them. Witness all the running of red lights. Bobby, you've been working 56 years. If you don't mind my asking, just how old are you, Bob? Don't mind your asking. As of August just passed, I am 73. That's right, Sonny. 73. Bobby, President Trump is a bit of an amateur. Hillary's whistleblower would have been either fish food or a pile of ash within an hour. Yeah, no kidding. And I think that catches me up with the text line. And the other part of the other rationale, and you're not going to see this in any official reports about hit and runs, illegals. I mean, look, I live in the real world, okay? And a lot of these people who are here illegally have no driver's license, have obviously no insurance, and the last thing they want to do is see the cops show up. So there you go. They take off. Bobby, about the hit and run, is that they're Mexican or Latinos and don't have a driver's license? That's a factor. They're never going to admit it. Bobby, I missed the memo. Are turn signals on strike today in No, turn signals have been optional for several decades. No. You remember the days, Moneypenny, when you stuck your arm out the window to signal, you know? How did you signal a right turn? Wasn't it like this? Make an L? Right. With your top of your arm horizontal and your forearm straight up in the air. And then if you're turning left, just stick your entire arm straight out. See, that's how old I am. You were asking how old I am? Oh, Moneypenny says she remembers that stuff, too. Glad to have you back, Bobby, and Trump will prevail. I agree. Anything else on the text line that I need to catch up with? Oh, another one. Bobby, forgive me asking. I'm not trying to be rude, if you would not mind sharing how old you are. There you go. Okay, we got two of those, Moneypenny. But, of course, you know, it can't be critical of my geriatric condition because, of course, that would be, what would that be, ageism? Sexism? Because I'm an old white guy?
I was just going to ask you if you knew how old dirt was.
I was there when it was invented. Let me put it that way. I saw this piece today, and I'm going to go ahead and get started on it here because I don't think I'll be able to finish it before the break. But I've been promising I was going to share this. Andy McCarthy is a former federal prosecutor. As I mentioned, he's the guy that put away the blind sheikh in New York and put him in the Gray Bar Hotel for the rest of his natural life until he goes and collects his 72 virgins. The blind sheikh was the guy that behind the first bombing of the World Trade Center, the one in the garage underneath the building. By the way, I heard a story, and maybe in the category of an apocryphal story, that when they got, who was it? Was it might have been the guy that was the mastermind behind the second World Trade Center bombing. It's ostensibly they were flying him to some federal facility, moving him from one jail to another in a chopper, in a helo. And they were flying in New York City. And the FBI agent said, and this was before the World Trade Center bombing on 9/11, all right? So I guess it wasn't the mastermind. It was just some other Islamic terrorists that the FBI had rounded up, I guess in response to the first bombing. Yeah, that was it. In response to the first bombing. And they're flying in the helo, and they go near where the World Trade Center Twin Towers are standing. And the FBI agent said, look, they're still standing. And supposedly the jihadist said, for now. Wow. Let me go ahead and take a break here, and then when we come back on the other side, I will share with you this piece, a brilliant piece from a distinguished legal mind, Andy McCarthy. If the House won't vote, impeachment inquiry is just a Democratic stunt. And I think we already know that already, but he has legal evidence to back up that contention. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show, 5:15 here on Tuesday on WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. 522, bumper to bumper, here in the 5 o'clock follies in the Bobby Mac Show. Here's that piece from Andy McCarthy. You can find it at National Review. Moneypenny will probably have it up momentarily on our Facebook page as well. It is not for the Speaker and her adjutants to decree that there is an impeachment inquiry. Quote, the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment, end quote. Right there in black and white, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 of our Constitution vests the entirety of the power to call for removal of the President of the United States in a single body, the House, not in the Speaker of the House, in the House of Representatives, the institution, not one of its members. To be sure, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is a very powerful government official, second in the line of succession to the presidency, arguably the most powerful member of Congress. She wields decisive influence on the business of her chamber. She even has the power to induce the House to vote on whether to conduct an impeachment inquiry. But she does not have the power to impeach on her own. In the end, Speaker Pelosi is just one member, a representative elected biannually by one district, in her case, the 12th District of California, centered in San Francisco, and not particularly representative of the nation at large. Sure, she enjoys primary status because she's chosen by a majority of the House's 435 members, but like each of those other members, her vote counts as just one in a body that generally requires 218 votes to get the important things done. She is the Speaker. She is not the House. She does not have the authority to call for the president's removal. She can argue for it like the other members. She can vote on it like the other members, but she cannot do it by herself. Only the House, acting as an institution, can do that. The House acts by voting. It has never voted to conduct an inquiry into whether President Trump should be impeached. Consequently, there is no House impeachment inquiry. There is a partisan exhibition of synchronized dyspepsia. That's a great phrase. This exhibition includes strident letters from a cabal of committee chairs, all Democrats, falsely claiming that a refusal by Trump administration officials to comply with their demands for information and testimony, quote, shall constitute evidence of obstruction of the House's impeachment inquiry. In point of fact, the House has no impeachment inquiry. Congressional Democrats have an impeachment political campaign. Under federal law, the offense of obstructing Congress applies when any inquiry or investigation is being had by either House or any committee of either House. Again, neither the House nor any of its committees has voted to conduct an impeachment inquiry. There is no formal impeachment proceeding to obstruct. Let me repeat that. There is no formal impeachment proceeding to obstruct. Furthermore, the letters in question are not actually demands carrying the compulsory force of law. Technically, they are just informal requests. No one is required to comply with a mere request, and refusing to do so is not evidence of anything, let alone obstruction. The House has issued some subpoenas. For example, the House Oversight Committee just directed a subpoena to the White House addressed to Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, reportedly demanding the production of a vast array of records, documents, communications, etc., pertaining to the president's conduct of relations with Ukraine. Typical of the Democrats' alleged domain in this matter, the Oversight Committee has not voted to conduct an impeachment inquiry, nor did it vote to issue subpoenas, as by contrast, the Oversight Committee voted to subpoena the White House just a few weeks ago for records germane to a suspected violation of federal record-keeping laws. Instead, Chairman Elijah Cummings, Democrat Maryland, and he's another corruptocrat, strategically waited until the House closed for a two-week recess, then issued a memo absurdly claiming there was too much urgency to wait so a vote could be taken, then issued the subpoena late Friday, thus ensuring that no Republican could object and no Democrat would be forced to go on the record supporting impeachment, which, by the way, the vast majority of the public strongly opposes. Under House rules, the Oversight Committee had been delegated unilateral authority to issue subpoenas, so the subpoena is valid, but it's also pure gamesmanship. So the explanation for the subpoena, offered in a letter that Chairman Cummings jointly signed with Chairman Adam Bullschiff and Elliot Engel, respectively, on the Intelligence and Foreign Affairs Committee, after a couple of pages of throat clearing about the purported impeachment inquiry, the chairman observed that even without such an inquiry, the Oversight Committee has its own independent authority to conduct oversight investigations and issue subpoenas. In other words, information is actually being demanded under Congress's routine authority to scrutinize executive activities. There would be nothing extraordinary about it, except that senior Democrats have decided to hang an impeachment sign on the exercise, hoping you won't notice that the House has not voted to explore impeachment and that its Democrat leaders are going out of the way to avoid such a vote. The conduct of foreign relations is a near plenary power of the chief executive. We're not talking about oversight of executive agencies created by Congress. The committees are aiming their subpoena demands at the place where the president's constitutional power and privileges are at their most formidable. Of course, the White House is not going to start surrendering records just because Cummings wrote a subpoena. Now, let's be clear about something. None of us should object in principle to the Democrats' position that they're entitled to explore whether the president should be impeached. I do not agree that President Trump has committed high crimes and misdemeanors, but to the extent Democrats do, or at least say they do, they have the authority to make that case to the contrary. But the framers designed impeachment as a political remedy, not a legal one. Andy McCarthy concludes, members of the House are the representatives of the sovereign. That would be the people. In November 2020, the people are scheduled to vote on whether Donald Trump should keep his job. If Democrats who control the House truly believe the president has committed impeachable offenses and is so unfit for his duties that they can't wait just 13 months for the sovereign to render that verdict, then they should vote to conduct an impeachment inquiry. If they are afraid to vote on it, then they shouldn't be doing it. And as their committee chairmen are fond of saying, we should draw a negative inference against them. Look, we get it. It's a dog and pony show. First, it was Trump-Russia collusion. Now it's Trump-Russia, Trump-Ukraine collusion and all the rest. And I think what they are doing is playing to their base and significantly damaging their chances 13 months away. Little Annie is ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side, and we'll go back to the phones as well when we come back here in the 5 o'clock Follies on the Bobby Mack Show on Tuesday.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, thank you. His name had gone out of my head when I was telling the story about the FBI agent flying in the Hilo over New York, and the FBI agent pointed to the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and said, hey, take a look over there. They're still standing. And the jihadi said, yeah, for now. That was Ramzi Youssef, the mastermind for the first World Trade Center bombing. Yep, Thank you. Appreciate that. He was also behind the terror plot to blow up a dozen airplanes over the Pacific, and that plot was uncovered when one of the bomb-making factories in the Philippines caught fire mid-'80s, 1985 or so, I think. Yeah. Thank you, Texter. Appreciate your bringing me up to speed on that. Colonel Ted's travelogue continues. It's time for another edition of Where's Colonel Ted? He's been out in Colorado. He's been in Colorado, I believe, since 2014 or so, and has had all kinds of adventures. His car broke down. Then he ran over a deer, wiping out some of the Rocky Mountain wildlife, and it's been one adventure after another. Welcome, Colonel Ted. Where are you and how are you?
Well, I'm cruising past, it looks like almost in Pueblo, Colorado.
Ah.
And I was on, if you'd answered me when I called earlier, this is a good example of how quickly I changed my mind. I would have told you my destination is entirely differently than it now is going to be.
What has caused the mid-course change of course?
Well, I just get an idea. It pops in my head when I stopped at a rest stop and was listening to you give that Andy McCarthy.
Oh, yes.
Incident. That guy is my candidate for FBI director.
You know what? That's a great idea, Colonel Ted. He would be a great one.
I mean, he knows where all the bodies are buried.
Pretty much.
And I trust him implicitly. But anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Yes.
I was headed to Kirtland Air Force Base. I was sprung loose from the academy finally today. But that recent experience wasn't bad. Last two nights, I was in distinguished visitor quarters.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's for like generals and, you know, senators and that kind of stuff. The nice little benefit of being a lieutenant colonel, retired lieutenant colonel, is it's been a custom for a long time because I've done it before. If DV quarters are not being used,
right,
lieutenant colonels and above can use them at it used to be at no additional cost. Last night cost me $9 extra for a big two-room suite. But I thought it was worth it.
Yeah, you bet.
A lap of luxury since I'd been sleeping in my car for the previous several weeks.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was definitely a step up in class. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I was headed to Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And too long a story why I tell that now, maybe another time. But then I changed my mind, and I'm now headed to the Four Corners Monument.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sort of headed in that general direction anyway, and this might be my last opportunity to get there.
Yeah, that's where you can stand in one spot, and you're in four states at the same time. It was shown in it was in Breaking Bad.
And I've been there before, decades ago, and it's kind of a neat experience. When, you know, it's a unique spot in the world, really. Well,
yeah.
Certainly in the United States.
Right.
But I noticed from my Google Maps, I'm not going to get there before sundown, so I'm going to have to drive until I run out of daylight and then pick a spot to sleep in my car again and step down from DV quarters.
Wait a second. You're using Google Maps to get there, Colonel Ted? You know,
how do you find any place without Google Maps anymore? I cannot drive two blocks without using Google Maps or Apple Maps.
Yeah, but, you know, my experience has been you're likely to end up in Belize.
Yeah, I know. I've had some actually, I use Apple Maps more than Google Maps, but on Apple Maps, I've got already keyed in. I don't know whether I should say this on there. Have you ever wondered what's happened to an old girlfriend? I mean, you know, you don't discuss it with your wife, but, I mean...
No, that would be not a good policy, Colonel Ted.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there is one that has lived in Hereford, Texas, a little borough not far from Amarillo, and I just kind of always wondered what happened to Barb.
So you are covertly tracking a former girlfriend?
Well, not yet. I'm not even sure she's still alive. Yeah, I just thought I'd pop into town and nose
sure.
around. And I remember her dad was a real prominent attorney in town. And I'd met her in New Orleans my senior year in college. And we had a little thing going there until I got a Dear John, Dear Ted, from her before I went to Vietnam.
Yeah, but, I hear you. Yep.
Anyway.
Happens to all of us. Well, look, so, Colonel Ted, you're now headed for the Four Corners, right? That's what? Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, when you get there, be sure and check in, because I don't think we've ever had anybody on the program who was standing in four states at once.
I know, except you're going off the air long before I get there, so I'm not going to be able to work that out.
Well, it doesn't have to be today, Colonel Ted. You know, it can be sometime later this week, whenever you get there.
Well, I'm getting there tonight, and then I'm leaving, and I'm probably never going back. So.
Well, I'm sorry that we're conflicting with your schedule, Colonel Ted, but, you know, life is
a podcast or something, and you can play that.
Life is full of disappointment, as I'm sure you remember from Southeast Asia, Colonel Ted.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Colonel Ted. Always fascinating to check in with you and see what he is up to. Those guys in the Caribous. There's a reason that they only flew the Spec Ops guys, if you catch my drift. A quarter before, you know, birds of a feather flocking together, you know. The snake eaters and those flyboys with the Caribous. Quarter before six here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
McClain.
Welcome back. 5:52. It's 8 before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. This is classic. Here's the headline from Fox. White House announces it will not comply with illegitimate and unconstitutional impeachment inquiry. Let me rephrase this into English. White House tells Pelosi, go pound sand.
Oh, you can't make that stuff up.
That's pretty much it. We'll have more on that coming up. But time for today's edition of ATF. Here we go. Here's Gary Goodvoice to introduce Amazing True Facts.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McClain presents Amazing True Facts.
They are amazing, and they're true. That's why they're called Amazing True Facts. I am joined by the Bobettes for today's edition of ATF, Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass.
Hello.
And Little Annie in the news center.
Hello.
Mixed feelings about commutes. You know, on one hand, I know people usually hate them. On the other hand, a lot of people listen to, say, the Bobby Mack Show while they're commuting on the radio. So, you know, it's good for us. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, commuting times just hit an all-time high. How bad is it?
How bad is it, Bob?
How bad is it? The average Americans commute 27 minutes one way last year. That's 2 minutes more than it was a decade ago.
Yeah.
That is, let me challenge my math skills here. Extra 20 minutes a week, 17 extra hours a year. I am exceedingly lucky. In this department, my commute time is like 12 minutes.
That's nice.
One way, that is good. Yeah. That's a blessing. Miss Moneypenny, what would you guesstimate? Well, yours is kind of depends on what's happening on 85, yeah. Does it not?
All of it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of my travel time is 85.
Yeah. So, as they say, how long is it?
It takes me about 30 minutes to get here.
Wow. So you're 3 minutes over the average. Little Annie, your daily commute consists of how much time?
22.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys are a lot closer to the national average than I am. We're just by pure luck. All in all, the average person spends 225 hours or 9 full calendar days commuting in the space of a year.
Wow.
Why dat? Well, one of the big reasons is cities not having enough housing, so people move further away, or they can't afford housing that's closer to downtown, more expensive. Cities not spending on roads and transportation, making the drive tougher. We really want to go there. Okay, so a lot of people are going to be traveling for the upcoming holidays, right? Well, the TSA says there are a number of weird things you're not allowed to carry onto a plane that you may not have thought about.
Huh.
What kind of things, Bob? Well, glad you asked. Did you know you cannot carry a magic eight ball?
Why? On the plane? Why? Why?
I'm not making this up. Because of the liquid inside, according to TSA. So, want to take your magic eight ball on board? Ask again later. Bowling pins. Which
is it a weapon?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of leads to the obvious question. I mean, you know, unless you're a professional juggler, you know, what are you doing with bowling pins in the first place? You have to check bowling pins. Interestingly, you got your bowling ball with you? Good to go.
Really?
Take it right aboard the plane. Yeah. Also banned by TSA, cast iron cookware. Yeah. Well, we were just flying along and he hit me over the head with the frying pan.
I'm just seeing the Flintstones.
Yeah. Right. This one, not surprising. Pool cues.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they could be used as a weapon. But pool cues break down. You know, a really good one breaks down and goes in a case, but still, you know, can pull it out. I'm hijacking this plane to Cuba. Hockey sticks, ski poles, and lacrosse sticks. Also banned for the same reason. What else you can't bring on board? Cooking sprays like Pam. Yeah. What? I can't bring my Pam? No, I'm sorry, sir. Aerosols are flammable. Might explode. So, antlers. Fake skeletons. A football helmet. A Geiger counter, cheese graters, Harry Potter wands, a live fish, all can be carried onto a plane.
Who are these people?
And where did they come from? And where are you going with that? Where are you going with that bowl of koi there, buddy? Well, Seattle was where. Hour number three of the Bobby Mac Show has zipped on past. Thank you, Bobettes. News is next with a little Annie, and I'm right back with a bonus hour here on Tuesday with my pool cue.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.